This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by Assiniboia Livestock for the most reliable and dependable way to market your livestock. Today we talk with a farmer west of Regina at Pence about harvest. Donna Fisher is today's winner in the 620 CKRM Country Cookout Contest, and we talked to her son, Marvin. We have the latest crop report from Saskatchewan Agriculture, with harvest approaching 90%. Real Agriculture talks about farm management. Protein Industries Canada, based in Regina, holds its annual meeting yesterday and lays out a roadmap to expand the plant protein industry from $2.5 to $25 billion in 15 years. We also have an update on harvest in Manitoba. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-324-7778. And Mazenk Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazenk, 306-721-6667. A farmer from Pence, west of Regina, is today's winner in the 620 CKRM Country Cookout Contest. Donna Fisher is today's winner. Her son, Marvin Fisher, harvested about 1,800 acres of crop this fall.
Yeah, it went pretty smooth, actually. It was a good start to harvest, and we had that little bit of rain in the middle and finished off with nice weather at the end.
When did you wrap up?
We wrapped up Wednesday of last week. I don't know what day that was, but...
How were yields this year?
They were a little bit better than expected, but about, I'd say, half of what we normally get, but we're still really thankful for what we got.
Outline a little bit more on the rainfall. How much rain did you get?
Prior to harvest, we had I don't know the exact amount, but very little, just a couple inches. And then during harvest, I think we had 7 inches in 10 days, which was, we welcome rain anytime, but it sure came at the wrong time this year.
What was your best and what was your worst crop?
Our canola was probably our lowest yield this year.
What's your thought on markets, the prices right now?
Oh, they're the highest I've ever seen in my lifetime, but, I mean, everything else is high too, so it's good to see the prices up, and just let's hope they stay there for a while.
Has COVID caused any problems this past year?
It has, in terms of trying to get products. You know, things break down, you call the stores, and they're seem to don't have any supply of anything. But other than that, not personally, just more of if I need something, it's not quite as available.
Any specific seeding plan changes for next spring?
Nope. We kind of stick to the same thing all the time. So same as every other year, I guess.
What is your usual rotation?
We do a third acres or pulse, a third canola, and a third cereal.
The Fisher Farm west of Regina at Pence is today's winner in the 620 CKRM Country Cookout Contest. This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch eaves troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca. And Farmtronics in Regina, your farm electronics specialists. From moisture testers to security cameras, keeping your farm running productively and efficiently since 1977. 380 Henderson Drive. Saskatchewan farmers made good harvest progress this past week. Provincial Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers says harvest is approaching 90% complete and should wrap up in a couple weeks.
Well, there was great harvesting weather this past week, so producers were able to get out there and harvest without delay or much of a delay. And we're sitting at 89% of the crop now in the bin, up from 74% last week and well ahead of our five-year average of 63% for this time of year. So we're almost done. I predict only a couple more reports and we'll be wrapped up for the year. And there's an additional 7% of the crop swath are ready to straight cut. And that's mostly canola or flax that's waiting to be picked up out there.
And the progress by region?
Well, the Southwest is not letting anyone else beat them, so they're sitting at 94% of the crop now combined. The Southeast is sitting at 92%. The West Central with 89%. The East Central with 84%. The Northeast with 90%. And the Northwest with 77%. So just about every region is just about wrapped up.
Was there any rain this past week?
Very minimal rain. The Macklin area received the most with about 10 millimeters, and the rest of the province ranged somewhere between 1 mil to 5 mil on average. So not very much rain, but that's exactly what we want right now since it is harvest. But once harvest is complete, we certainly want it to rain much more.
What's the topsoil moisture rating?
Well, they fell a little bit this week with some strong winds and lack of moisture or precipitation, but 25% adequate, 46% short, and 29% very short for cropland. And then hay and pastures rated as 16% adequate, 40% short, and 44% very short. So yeah, like I said, we certainly need more rain once harvest is wrapped up and to help us for next spring.
What were the main causes of crop damage this past week?
Main causes of crop damage this week was wind, frost, waterfowl, and wildlife. Most of the western half of the province experienced some kind of frost on a differing scale. Some people got a -5 or -1. So it all depends on how long you got it for and how tough the frost was to see what kind of damage there was. But fortunately, at this point of the season, most crops will be well matured and won't be at risk of damage.
And give me a comment or two on yields and grade.
Well, we haven't asked that for a week or so now, but the yields are still coming in. I got those in my comments. They're still coming in a lot lower than average, which isn't surprising to anyone. But grades, there was actually some surprising grade numbers that came in last week with lentils coming out a little bit above average for their 10 years. So that's really good to see. In my final report, I'll cover yields and grades again for just about every crop in the province that we grow, so we'll get a much better look at what we're looking at for this season.
Producers are reminded that Saskatchewan Crop Insurance provides compensation for damage caused by wildlife free of charge. Pastures are rated 7% good, 29% fair, 41% poor, and 23% very poor.
Meeting or conference? From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising@realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity. We're now going to hear a conversation with Terry Betker of Backswath Management. Terry and I talk about the idea of managing your business through instinct versus analytics and vice versa. And wait a minute, does it need to be a versus relationship? Can you make decisions based on a little bit of analytics and a little bit of instincts?
I think generally there's still more decisions made by instinct, by gut, seat of the pants structures.
And is that a good thing, or is that something that needs to change?
So there's farmers out there that have done very well by using instinct. But farms are increasingly larger, more complex, more people involved in the more complex also because there's more activity going on. A lot of farms are increasingly diverse. And with that then comes the need for the use of more analytics. It depends on what areas of management. Generally, farms are going, I think, to use or The more successful farms are increasingly going to use more analytics in their decision making.
And so, really, does it come down to depending on the kind of decision that you're making, instincts or analytics really are the right way to go? Like, it's not where all. I guess maybe you wouldn't be a good farm manager if all decisions were analytics and or all decisions were instinct.
I think the theory would say that you should use analytics, but I think there's a feel for it. So to just say that it should all be based on analytics is I don't think the way to go. I think there also has to be some instinct. Part of the challenge is that a lot of the guys have in using analytics is having the information they need at hand. So if some of the decisions are being based on financial statements from accountants, for example, there'll be farmers that have done seeding in 2015 that don't have their 2014 statements yet. And so if the analytics is based on financial statement information, then having the information at hand to support some of the analytics or the decisions is a challenge, and I think there's also a significant part here of while some of the farmers that I, or a lot of the farmers I talk to are working at trying to apply more analytics to their decision-making processes, but they still go back to their past practice patterns, past experience. And then the last comment, there's a significant correlation between instinct and emotion, and farmers struggle with separating business-based decision making from the emotion. So those are some of the challenges they face. And generally, though, I think there's still more decisions based on instinct.
Now you mentioned experience being a key part of the decision-making process, and I came across an Albert Einstein quote earlier today as I was researching for the interview, and the quote goes, "The only source of knowledge is experience," right? And so I think that, you know, when we talk about managing by instinct, we reference that term, you know, trusting your gut, right? Yep. And I think for a lot of people that aren't used to making decisions based on data, they have that, there's that issue of trust. Should I really trust these numbers? Because my gut doesn't really agree with what they're telling me.
That could be a real challenge. And then who do they talk to provide context to the numbers? So if they're looking at the analytics or the numbers and they're testing that against their gut and they can't make them equate, then who do they talk to bounce those ideas past? And that becomes a challenge for some of them as well.
I've had different farmers tell me that I don't have time to put together the numbers to make good decisions. I can put together numbers quickly and maybe rely on bad data and make the wrong decision. I'd rather just make that quicker decision based on my gut and go with it.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Partly cloudy today, wind northwest 30, gusting to 50, the high 20, the low plus 1 tonight with risk of frost. Friday, sunny, wind northwest 30. The high tomorrow 16, the low plus 2. Saturday, sunny, the high 24, the low 9. Sunday, sunny, the high 26, the low 9. Monday, sunny, the high 27, the low 9. Tuesday, sunny, the high 27, the low 10. Wednesday, sunny, the high near 25. Normal high is 16, the normal low is 2. The sun rose at 6:46 this morning. It sets at 6:55 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot is Estevan in the southeast corner at 22. The cold spot up north Key Lake at 6 degrees. Once again, Estevan is 22, Saskatoon 13, Swift Current 15, Weyburn and Yorkton both 20. Regina cloudy and 19, that's 66 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the northwest at 35, gusting to 46. Humidity is 39%, the barometer rising 101.7. Partly cloudy in Moose Jaw, 18. Winds are from the northwest at 42, gusting to 54. Once again, Regina, cloudy in 19, that's 66 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment. This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers. McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Patterson Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Patterson Liquid Systems, expect the best. Regina-based Protein Industries has outlined a plan to expand farm sales by $25 billion in 15 years. CEO Bill Gruel says the roadmap to expand Canada's plant-based sales outlines key actions from businesses, research institutions, and government.
We're heading into an era of unprecedented growth for plant-based food on a global basis. You know, the estimates for the size of this market out 10 or 15 years from now is measured in the hundreds of billions of dollars. And so what we thought of Protein Industries Canada was that it was time for us to develop a roadmap with a set of recommended outcomes and actions that Canada could work towards in order to capture a significant portion of that marketplace. And we think that opportunity for Canada could be upwards of $25 billion in annual sales 15 years from today.
And what is in the roadmap? What is the actual roadmap?
Yeah, so we've learned a lot in the last 3 years, and we worked with over 100 of our stakeholders to kind of think about what does Canada need to do. And so we settled on three themes. And the first one is innovation. You know, we really need to focus on innovation in this sector. We're talking about the development of product categories and food products that don't exist. We really need to have a strong and robust research and innovation sector, because I think innovation will underpin the growth of this industry long term. The second is around scale. So we're talking about growing an industry from where we are today, about $2.5 to $3 billion, to $25 billion. How do we help an industry in Canada scale up to meet that global demand in terms of ingredient processing capacity? How do we incent more companies like Roquette and Ingredion to build facilities here? How do we grow and scale Canadian homegrown companies to have impact on a global scale? How do we create the right business environment for those? So that's all around scale. And then the third area is prosper, and that is, how do we push as far down the value chain as we can? It's one thing for us to grow from go from commodities to ingredients. It's quite another thing for us as a nation to move from ingredients to finished food products, because that's where the value is going to lie. So how do we incent and push development along the value chain as far as we can? So it's these three themes of innovate, scale, and prosper. Each of those themes have a series of recommended actions that we think need to be undertaken by industry, by government, by the capital community. So it's a very robust plan, we feel, to help Canada achieve what we can achieve in plant-based foods.
What about farmers? What's required of producers?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because we don't have anything if we don't have the raw commodities. And so when I think about where we need to get to, you know, we need increased production. We need farmers to think about the quality of the crops that they're growing. More and more our customers, our end-use customers, are asking questions about life cycle analysis and carbon footprint. Information that starts at the producer level so that we can prove out sustainability claims. And I think we're going to need farmers long term to keep investing in science and innovation like they have done for years in Western Canada through the checkoffs, but maybe thinking about the investments that we're making in the context of what does that mean for Canada's plant-based food, feed, and ingredient sector. So maybe thinking about investments in plant breeding related to quality and not just yield, which I know they do already. I would say a real increase the focus on research and development as well.
You talk about roughly a 10 times increase in the value of sales in 15 years. How much increased production are you expecting from farmers?
Yeah, so this is the interesting thing, because, you know, if you look at the yield trajectory for the last 15 years, we've increased, you know, on average, over the course of 15 years, 6, 7, 8 million metric tons of crop production. I expect those yield trends to continue, because thankfully we've got the most innovative farmers in the world. And so, you know, I expect that over the course of the next 10 to 15 years throughout the life of this plan, that crop production on the prairies will increase by another, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 million metric tons. And that's the processing capacity that we need to build out. So, you know, if our farmers keep doing what they're doing, which is investing in innovation and plant breeding like they're doing, adopting new technologies and sustainable farming systems like they do, and increasing the production base, we're going to have more and more opportunity to deliver on this plan.
Gruhl says the goal is to make Canada a world leader in the supply of plant-based food, feed, and ingredients. The roadmap was released yesterday at Protein Industries Canada annual meeting. Gruhl says the Protein Canada roadmap would incentivize farmers to supply the ingredients for 10% of the world's plant-based foods, generating $25 billion into Canada's economy over the next 15 years. Among the 10 industry advisors to steer the development of plant-based protein products, Dr. Martin Scanlon, the Dean of Agriculture at the University of Manitoba. He has studied air bubbles in bread and noodle dough, efforts to understand what happens to grain when we massage it or cook them on the way to becoming food. The advisory group includes other food processors like Murad El-Khatib of AGT Foods and Ingredients and Gord Flayton of oat processor Avena Foods. Other advisors include Julie Dixon Olmsted of Save On Foods Vancouver, Riel Belgard from the advisory group, Saskatchewan Indian Institute of Technology Saskatoon, plus Pulse Canada President Greg Cherwick.
Get out to an early start on weed control in next year's canola and lentil crop using Group 3 Edge Microactive from Gowan Canada this fall. Edge Microactive, maximize yields today and manage resistance for tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Canada.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Harvest completion in Manitoba has reached 78%. Manitoba Agriculture Farm Production Advisor Amir Farouk says the southwest part of the province is catching up to the northwest in harvest progress.
We are doing good. Like last week was mostly sunny and there was not much moisture. So it was good progress. Happened last week, and we got regional average is our right now 70 to 74% done at this stage. Including cereals are close to 90 to 95%, and canola is 70 to 75%, and soybean also started mostly south of number one highway is close to 30 to 35%. And in north of number one highway, mostly 20 to 25% soybean is also done.
Farouk outlines crop yields.
Yields are coming quite surprising in some areas. Like soybean is coming mostly 30 to 35 bushels per acre, and like average. And in some cases, it's close to 40 bushels per acre. And in canola, it's coming 30 to 45 bushels per acre. It's range. And in spring wheat, it was 50 to 55 bushels. So mostly farmers are satisfied at this point. But there are some poor fields as well. But overall, our yield is like average in most of fields, and in some fields are a little bit below average.
Amir Farouk is the Farm Production Advisor for Manitoba Agriculture based in Hamiota. Market update is brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. With new inventory arriving daily, they'll find a vehicle that fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. See Nelson GM today. And Western Ag Professional Agronomy. If you want to make cropping decisions with confidence, visit growmoreprofit.com. Grain prices were showing upward movement in early trading today. Viterra prices for canola rose $7.90 at $8.5672. Oats gained $25 at $3.8753. Number one red spring wheat gained 28 cents at $3.9476. The rest were unchanged. Durham $5.8810. Feed barley $3.2965. Flax $12.5210, lentils $10.4950, yellow peas $5.0519, feed wheat $2.6165. On the Minneapolis Exchange this morning, hard red spring wheat for December gained 10 cents at 9.13½ cents a bushel. The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. Now the latest livestock quotes.
Hello, cattlemen. Junior for Heartland Livestock Services, Yorkton, with your market report for the week of September 22nd. Real nice running offer here this week to 2357 in the sort, 283 cows and bulls for a total of 2640. This week's pre-sort sale was a Semitol influenced sale, and we would like to thank Double Bar D Semitols of Grenfell for sponsoring our coffee and donuts for our producers. This week's sale was under a little pressure, but we still saw some good prices on some top cut cattle. Here are a few highlights of this week's sale. 115 Red X steers, 565 pounds at 235 and a quarter. 94 Red X steers, 632 pounds at 228. And the 430-pound Red X steers at 264. And the Big Brothers at 780 at 206. On the buckskin steers, 414 pounds at 278. 490-pound buckskin steers at 257. And their Big Brothers, 706 pounds at 220. On the black steers, 412 pounds at 270. 560 pounds at 235. 635 weights, 221 in the 714-pound big block steers at 216.50. In the heifer pens, they're still 30 to 35 cents back from their brothers. On the cow sale, we saw 240 cows average 81.50. D1, D2 cows, 80 to 86 with a high of 90. D3 cows, 73 to 78 with a high of 79. Your light shelly cows, 64 to 70. And your heiferettes, a buck 10 to a buck 18. The bull trade, we saw 25 bulls average $1.09 with a high of a buck 18 on a good hard exotic bull. Producers, our monthly sheep and goat sales this Friday, September 24th at 11 a.m., receiving Thursday from 12 to late and up to sale time on Friday. The horse sale will follow at 3 p.m. on Friday, September 24th. Producers, next week is our Charolais influence sale, so give us a call to book your cattle for this sale. We're receiving cattle Monday and Tuesday up until 4 p.m. Once again, this has been Junior for HLS Yorkton, the market that gets the big numbers on the high prices. Thank you, and have a great day.
Now the latest Saskatchewan pork prices.
Ham sold 6,100 hogs Wednesday, selling a range of 210 to 224 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 6,700 head, selling a range of 207 to 232 per CKG. Ham's cash hog price today is mixed, and forward contract prices open higher this morning. On Wednesday, the Canadian dollar is up 26 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.2756. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 79.03 cents U.S. Daily U.S. cash markets are mixed, with the Western Corn Belt down $2.28, National $1.02 lower, and the National Cutout Adjusted Variant $3.51 U.S. 100 weight higher relative to the previous day. Prices using a higher component of the value of the carcass saw a boost relative to the other regions, as the net value of the cutout saw a one-day $4.16 net change to the upside, led by bellies at $15.63 a hundredweight, which bucked the weekly trend. The weekly export sales report published before the futures market opened this morning revealed physical deliveries were up 39.6% compared to the previous reporting period at 36,086 metric tons. The volume beats the 2020 high water level by over 5,000 metric tons and is 75% higher than the five-year average for the marketing week. The majority came from Mexico, who took 18,986 metric tons in the reporting period, which is the second highest volume for the country so far this year. New net sales were also dominated by Mexico, who committed to 16,291 metric tons in the reporting period and nudged the year-to-date total 23% higher than the record 2020 marketing year. Futures markets are supported on export expectations this morning, but the heavy lifting is all Mexico.
Coming up, the Resource Report. Now the Resource Report, brought to you by the Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms, feeding families, in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg, and brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. The Global Institute for Food Security at the University of Saskatchewan is getting additional funding for the next growth phase. Founded in 2012 in a public-private partnership between Nutrien, the Saskatchewan government, and the university, the institute is designed to build on this province's strength in agriculture. Current initiatives underway as part of the new phase of operations include research and development to boost photosynthesis in crops, the process by which plants use sunlight to convert water and carbon dioxide into energy and food. CEO Stephen Webb says agriculture is part of the solution for managing greenhouse gases. Through photosynthesis, plants are able to absorb and sequester carbon to create food and energy, one of nature's best ways to reduce greenhouse gases. Efforts to improve photosynthesis will improve crop yields and reduce carbon emissions, good for the economy and environment. To accommodate plans for the next phase, the Global Institute for Food Security has moved to an expansive facility in Innovation Place. The new location contains twice its lab space and three times its plant growth facilities, including greenhouses and plant growth chambers. Webb says the Institute has transformed its work and set up new technology platforms to support research goals. On the markets, the TSX is up 81 points at 20,483. The Dow has risen 545 points at 34,803. Oil is up $1.16 at $73.39 a barrel. The Canadian dollar is up 78 one-hundredths of a cent at 79.05 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley. Good afternoon and good farming.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.